Call the meeting of the Curry Beach Town Council for Monday, August 19th, 2024. Invocation and Pledge Allegiance, invocation by Commissioner Ellen.
Please join me in prayer. Loving and gracious God, you are indeed the giver of all good gifts, and we thank you today for all your blessings, for the successful outcomes of our town events, and for all of our staff members. We ask that you bless them abundantly, and we continue to seek your wisdom, your guidance, courage, and strength. Be with us in our deliberations, and help us to be wise in the decisions we make for the good of all of those who have placed their trust and confidence in our leadership. Give us insight to lead with integrity, that our decisions may reflect what is right and good. Keep us from short-sightedness and pettiness. Help us to make decisions that are for the good of all, and guard us from blind self-interest. Dear Lord, grant us the humility to always seek your will in all that we do and say. All of the glory be to you, loving God, now and for always. Amen.
Stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on the agenda is the approval of the consent agenda items. I'll entertain a motion if nobody wants to pull anything or discuss anything.
Make a motion to approve as presented.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. All right. Adoption of the agenda. We do have one update on one item, and you've been handed that about the 10.3 under new business, and we'll get into that. So you have, that's not what's in your packet, it's what you have in your hand.
Okay.
Okay.
Make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Great. We have nobody signed up for public comment tonight. And the next item is presentations. No presentations are on the agenda. Committee business, bike ped.
We did have a meeting. The chairman of that committee is not here this evening. She is on short vacation. We are planning to see if the council, or that committee is planning to see if the council will adopt a proclamation probably next at our September meeting, because October is pedestrian safety for the state and a lot of states throughout the nation. And we have drafted a proclamation. I'll send that out in email later this week or next week.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John. Community Center Committee, Nikki's not here tonight. She's a little under the weather today. The committee did meet. Our chairman, we approved his resignation in the consent agenda. He decided to just move on to other things. But the committee's fairly active, so we'll come up with it. They'll have a new chairman elected next month, and we'll advertise that opening now. Historical Preservation Commission?
We haven't met, we have no update.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Marketing Committee?
Marketing Committee, we're going to be meeting on the 27th this month, and the CVB will be there, and we'll be getting an update on our ROT, so we'll see how we're doing so far this year.
Okay, thank you, Connie. Planning and Zoning, Byron?
No update.
No update. I think y'all had to cancel meetings because of the storm, didn't you? Shoreline Beach, Shoreline Access and Beach Protection, Dennis?
Just like to mention that this coming Saturday, in partnership with the aquarium, there's a back-to-school beach cleanup which will be at the Oceanfront Park, starting at 8 a.m. There will be gloves, bags, pickers, refreshments. Everything will be provided for those people who want to show up and participate in the cleanup. Again, this Saturday starting at 8 o'clock at the pavilion. Okay. And it'll go till 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. I'm assuming we're going to go out to like different areas of...
Yeah, the SLAP committee will instruct participants what sections to go to. We'll be out there on the beach trying to help out, do whatever we can.
Okay, great, great. Stormwater committee.
Yeah, so there's no update from the committee, but I'd like to take this time to update the council and citizens on last Monday's event. So I'm going to go through a number of actions that the town took and then where we are right now. Next slide, please. So as everyone knows, we had Tropical Storm Debbie. We had 11 inches of rain previous to that Monday rainstorm, which results in the ground being saturated in the town. On that date, the official report was 4.34 inches of rain in less than 2 hours that afternoon of Monday the 12th. Multiple individuals in town have reported an excess of 6 inches from local rain gauges in the same period. So we had between 6 and 4 inches of rain in less than 2 hours in Curie Beach. That rain exceeds all the design capacities of all the stormwater systems within the town, starting with the 13 outfalls that go to the beach that were put in the late 60s, all the way up to the most recent stormwater systems in the newest neighborhoods. Additionally, the event occurred at just after high tide, so high tide that day was about 1:20, and this occurred after 2 p.m., so 45 minutes after high tide. And for those of you that don't understand how the outfall systems work, even when the pipes are buried, they basically leach through the dune system. But when you have a high tide, you have water pressure that reduces how effective that is. Just for interest, so I was not in town, but I talked to multiple town employees and citizens who were here for Florence and some that were here in Floyd. This rainfall was comparable to Hurricane Florence in 2018, and the worst part of Hurricane Florence was between 2 and 4 a.m., so Jimmy, myself, and a number of public works people, as well as a number of police officers, were out during that time when we flooded a police vehicle just north of Alabama Avenue, and then Hurricane Floyd. Next slide, please. So what did the town do? So we had just finished Tropical Storm. We went in the weekend. We came back Monday with no warning. A number of departments were letting people off after the Tropical Storm, so none of the departments were fully staffed, and we didn't staff up because we didn't have warning. But Public Works, their first priority when something like this happens is they respond to alarms at lift stations. When you get that much rain that fast, we still have infiltration issues, and so multiple lift stations were alarming during the event. And if you think about the priorities of Public Works at the time, their first priority is to make sure that we're not backing up sewage systems into people's houses. So two lift stations required manual pumping actions during the event. Four others were alarming throughout the event. Jimmy, with his limited resources, assigned other people to drive around the town and make sure that no inlets to drain systems were clogged during the event, and we had people throughout the town for the entire two-hour rain event. Once the rain stopped, the systems operated as designed, and within between 30 minutes to 2 hours, according to where you were in town, your roads were now passable and the water was starting to decrease in your areas. No system failures were detected that day. The following day, a pipe at Atlantic Avenue failed, which resulted in a sinkhole. The road was blocked off and repaired that day. And you can see this is actually the Public Works Department the next day resolving that issue. As of today, that issue is just Marl Field. It is not paved, but it is resolved and restored to normal operations. Next slide. So the fire department, they had multiple 911 calls during the storm for flooded vehicles. These are the addresses that they responded to from 911. Additionally, as they were out, they saw other vehicles
which they did assist, but were not 911 calls, so I don't have records of that. Next slide. The police department, they reached out to emergency management, requested a high water vehicle, which we got, and stayed here through the end of the event and then stayed through the evening because there was projected more rainfall to come. We fortunately did not get that. And during the event, you can see the road closures that happened. So the police department closed Fort Fisher Boulevard south from I Avenue to G Avenue, north and south both lanes. South 6th Avenue from I to J, north and south. South 5th Avenue from I to J. Sandman Court to Anchor Way. And then Sloop Point, they were responding to close that, but the water started to recede. So they used the limited resources they had to close the worst areas in town. Next slide. Development Compliance Department reached out to all of our citizens. If you saw my emergency management update, we requested that if you had damage to your property, to please let us know so we could look at that and make sure and assess what had happened. Everyone that reached out got an email from Bethany that said, here's the FEMA recovery information, as well as here offering to give citizens the contact information for mitigation grant funding. Okay, this slide's very important to the next part, and that's why I have the recorder here so everyone online sees me. As we go through the next slides, you will see that I do not have specific addresses listed. There's two data sets in the slides to come. The first data set is from FEMA, and it's for flooding events in Curie Beach during Hurricane Floyd and Hurricane Fran. Because they put this cover page with the data when I got it, I've basically scrubbed the data so the dots are close to the property but not on the property. I'm not sure exactly why FEMA doesn't like that, but I'm going to follow their guidance because I don't want to get in trouble with the federal government. So, next slide. This is the reported flooding as of today, Bethany, right? Nobody else has came in since 4 o'clock when I got this. And you can see I scrubbed the data here following what FEMA did, so I don't have the specific address. But Surf Drive had flooding into a house. There were pictures of the yard flooding water to the foundation crawl space. They did not respond back to a request whether they had internal damage in their property. On the 200 block of 5th Avenue South, the lower level was flooded both Friday and Monday, but did not respond back with any specific damage. The 300 block for Fort Fisher Boulevard South, the entire lower level had at least 6 inches of standing water in it. And I actually went to this property because I met with the homeowner over the weekend. The lower level had an entryway, bathroom, storage room, air handler for AC, which is not allowed with the current building code, but this is a pre-existing home, a water heater, and water filtration systems. Did not get specific back on the damage. Just a note, this property is in the V zone, and current regulation require medical equipment to be raised above BFE, which, Bethany, BFE, I should know that.
Basic flood elevation.
Basic flood elevation, thank you. But probably was not required when the house was built. The 400 block of Fort Fisher Boulevard, water damage, but not respond back with specifics. The 300 block of Settlers Lane, water in the crawl space, which tripped a breaker and killed their sump pump. The 200 block of Water Oak, flooding on the first floor. The 300 block 3rd Avenue South, and in half an inch of water on the first level. So before you go, sorry, get back to that. So this was what we requested everyone report. I believe there are other properties that were impacted that did not report in this list based on the videos I saw from the damage and discussions with the staff. Next slide. So this slide is a little busy. Unfortunately, Manny can blow it up for us. If you blow it up a little bit and start at the south of town, Andy, that would be helpful. A little more. So you can see there are three, well, okay, yeah. Go up to the top so we can see the legend. So there are three sets of data listed here. A red, down to, up to the top. There you go. A red circle was from 2018 Hurricane Florence. A yellow circle was Hurricane Floyd, 1999. And then the red clouds was last Monday. So as we go through the town, keep that in mind. And the reason we're blowing it up is because I couldn't figure out a good way to do it all in one thing, right? We don't have a big enough screen, right? So a little more blow up there if you could. So south of town, you can see that's Hurricane Floyd, 1999, that yellow circle. And then in Ocean Dunes during Hurricane Florence. And if we come back forth, there's another Hurricane Florence, another Hurricane Florence, some Hurricane Floyds. Then there's the first one on Water Oak that was in this storm. So there's flooding to the south of town, but this is the first one in the south of town that's reported. Then we have flooding, believe that's between E and F Avenue. Someone in here might know that address. If we keep going forward. Then you can see during Hurricane Floyd in 99, multiple flooding events by H Avenue. During this storm, H Avenue had flooding reported. And again, this is reported by self-reporting. Continuing north in town, you can see flooding near the church up on 6th Avenue, and then flooding on 5th Avenue and 6th Avenue before we get to K. Continuing forward, there's the flooding on Surf that I talked about before. There's flooding on Settlers Avenue reported. And then you can see from Hurricane Floyd down below at N Avenue. And then coming around during Hurricane Florence, you can see flooding reported in multiple properties on Fort Fisher Boulevard. That's where I almost lost the fire sedan at 2 in the morning when I was driving to see what the police department had done to their vehicle. Continuing forward, now you see all these colored spots. This map is actually used by the Stormwater Committee. We're working on this map for the town. This shows all of the permitted ponds and the areas they serve on one map. That's what all the color that you see in this, the Stormwater Committee has been working on that for a while. If we continue in forward or north, you can see again Hurricane Florence flooding on Fort Fisher Boulevard, and then Hurricane Floyd flooding at Alabama Avenue on both sides of the road. So I'm not saying that's all the flooding. That's all the flooding that's been officially reported to the town. It was definitely a significant event. Next slide. Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry, you got it. There you go. So we had one pipe that we had to replace on Lake Avenue. The first step is to make sure none of the other outfall piping to the ocean has been compromised. And in addition to that, Jimmy will be assessing all the piping going to the west that flows to the Cape Fear River. So we'll be looking at the ditches that way as well. So Public Works has reached out to a vendor. We'll have cameraing over the next week or two for those outfalls. Secondly, as we looked at the outfalls, four of the outfalls in prior to the now most eastern ridge as the dunes have moved. And so we're going to be getting quotes to extend those four outfalls. During the event, that caused some issues at some places. My personal opinion is with this huge of an event, it wouldn't have made a difference to what we had, but we are going to work on that because even a little bit of help is a good thing. So that's where the town is right now. So once Jimmy has the quotes, I'll be recommending to council to support spending that money. With that, that's my completion of the update, and I'm open to questions for council or the citizens.
David, with the beach renourishment or the coastal storm damage reduction project coming up, they will rebuild those outfalls. That's always in the project. Mm-hmm. For bids, I guess they take them out when they're putting sand out. Mm-hmm. So that'll be coming up. So.
Yep. I think we're going to do it before that. That's going to be my recommendation to council. But yeah, I know every project does work on that. Yes, sir. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Would they extend them?
As part of the project, they put them back to,
them
where
back
they should, to the
where they
to
should
past
be.
The ridge of the dune line.
Yeah.
That's
where
they should be. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And some of them are fairly deep, and they have to make sure they shore them and you know, put the trenching in and all that stuff. So some of them are a little more complicated than others, especially down on the south end.
Right, that's exactly right.
So we'll find out on that. I'll make sure that our talk with the Corps of Engineers, we make sure we get those talks. Mm-hmm. Points in. David, thank you for.
So one, I'd just like to say thanks, staff. So even though we were not prepared for what happened, the police department, fire department, public works, building inspections department, and admin answering calls responded appropriately and without any guidance, which is how it should be, right? So the department heads, or if they weren't in town that day, their staff did a great job. And for the citizens that did have issues in their homes, I certainly understand. Lisa and I flooded our home in 1996, so I know how bad that is. But I think no one got hurt and property can be fixed. We need to try to do as good as we can with the systems that we have. But we should feel comfortable that the staff did an excellent job. And if anyone feels they didn't, I'll be glad to talk to them personally from my experience. And I know people are upset, and I understand that, but you can't say the staff didn't do everything they could, for sure. They were out there in it the whole time, running around in the rain, right? I was getting calls from all of them, talking to lots of people, so they did a great job. And I hope the citizens recognize that.
Anything else, anybody? Thank you, Doug.
Yes, sir.
Let's move on to department head business, administration, Mandy. Development and compliance, Bethany, anything?
So.
Your update was, you got some money in new housing, new single family homes even this past month. So, finance, Arlen, anything to discuss?
No.
Okay. Fire department?
No update, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Police? Hey, Brendan.
Just real quick, Council and Mayor, the police department's asking for approval for a social media presence, specifically with a Facebook page and an Instagram page. We feel like it would be a cheap, easy, cost-effective way for us to reach out to the community, keep them updated on incidents like we just previously had, road closures, hurricane preparations, scam alerts that are going around town, promoting events that the fire department may have or the rec department may have. We feel like it also create more of a sense of community. It would bring the police department closer to the citizens and the visitors as well. Any of the posts that the police department will put out will be just for informational purposes only. It will be controlled by two in-house administrators. Any posts that go out will have to have prior approval from Chief Bowden. So we can control the content, make sure it's what the community and the town want us to put out. We hope you consider this request. We believe it can be beneficial to the community and the police department as a whole. If you have any questions at all, please feel free to ask.
And you have no response option?
So the way we want to pattern our page, our social media pages, is the same way that Wilmington has done it and Carolina Beach has done it. They do not allow comments. Some agencies do, some don't. We would pattern ours after the ones that do not.
So does this follow the current policy that we have in place?
Yes.
I think it does, right?
It does.
Yes, that's right.
So does it require approval if it follows our policy? I'm just asking, Mandy, I don't know.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It's recommended that the department head come to council for approval.
Okay.
Ready for a motion?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll make a motion that council approves the police department's recommendation for a social media presence.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Thank you.
Okay.
We do it. Public Works. Jimmy, you have anything for us tonight?
Good afternoon, council and residents. People who don't know me, my name is Jimmy Meesmer, and I am the Public Works Director, Perry Meach. First of all, I would like to say I am very proud of my team. The team has 13 people that is employed in this department. We start work at 6 a.m. every morning. We don't leave until, we don't even know what time we would leave at any point in time during the day or night. So basically, Public Works is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. So last week was really, really stressful. I mean, we've actually been working a skeleton crew this year because we've had one person quit, we've had a couple people out with physical issues, and then there's been some with just a well-deserved vacation. Last Monday, we had 8 employees on duty at that time. So we stayed for 13 hours on Monday, we stayed 13 hours on Tuesday, and then we come in on Wednesday and do a water leak. So at any point in time, we're here, you know. And I know a lot of people got stressed out about it, you know. I mean, we all been stressed out about it. But the bottom line is, like David said, no one got hurt, no one got injured, and things can be replaced. And we have noticed some of the issues through town and that we are working on them. And in fact, I have contacted a camera crew that will be in hopefully first of next week. And I also contacted a contractor to come extend some of the pipes next week also. So that's where Public Works stands.
You had some guys that spent the night the other night too,
yes,
didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I had a list of things, but yeah. I just wanted to share this thing to the residents of exactly what all Public Works does. So, and it is extremely a lot for a lot of people. You know, they just don't comprehend it. So yeah. I just want to say kudos to my guys. I think they did a bang-up job, especially Tuesday afternoon, getting started on the storm drain at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and finishing up by 7 and having it open up for the next one.
Jimmy and I talked that afternoon. You know, these water leaks or major projects don't start at 8 in the morning. They wait to 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I talked to Ian that night about 7 o'clock as he was going home. And he had been here with a crew that stayed all night long over the weekend when we had the storm. So, Jimmy, your guys are dedicated to the citizens, and we appreciate what they do for us.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Jimmy, please pass that on to all your guys. Thank you. As I said, Nikki's under the weather tonight. Recreation Department reports in your packet, and then Dennis mentioned the beach sweep. She's been working hand in hand with the aquarium on some of these items for that. Under old business, consideration of an action on proposed memorandum of understanding with the Friends of Curie Beach. And
would you like to provide some background on that?
Yes, I can. The Friends group, the people who wanted to form the Friends of Curie Beach wanted to give people opportunity to donate money to the town for special projects. Through the course of several months, we've talked about a lot of things. They're kind of following up, like happened in Carolina Beach. You know, they got a big donation actually from a Curie Beach resident to do the upgrades to their skateboard park. And we thought it was a good idea when they brought it to us for consideration. We felt like having a memorandum of understanding that clearly stated what both groups were responsible for and could and could not do was the best way to handle this. So the group has formed their nonprofit. They have their own office address, and they provided a MOU that they recommended, and Jim added some Curie Beach stuff. So, Jim, is that?
Yeah, I don't have much to add after that. We kept the substance in their original provisions, but we revised it in the following ways. We added some general contract provisions like alternative dispute resolution, notice, no deemed waivers, things of that nature. But the point that I did stress throughout the agreement when I could
was that the use, they're going to earmark the funds when they donate, or they're going to offer to donate them and earmark them for a purpose. What we've got in the agreement now is council acts in open session to accept the offer, and that the offer is limited to town-approved projects and also any activity, service, project, or program that is statutorily authorized. So we just made it clear that the final authority rests on the council, not only to accept, but and they can reject for any reason at all.
Yes, sir.
So a recommendation is for you all to approve and authorize the mayor to sign it.
Thank you, Jim. Any comments or concerns?
No.
Everybody good? Thank you. Go ahead. You good, John?
Thank you. I read through it. I like it. I'm not sure I would understand. Let's say they donate $10,000 for a project, and it costs $12,000. Is that trying to force the council to find the other two? Do we accept that $10,000?
That would be totally up to council. First and foremost, it would be let's just use, for example, the playground at Oceanfront Park. We decide we want to do we're going to put that in our budget, and the group comes to us and say, hey, we think we have a donor, so can we sit down and talk about a budget, and we had come up with an agreement, this is how much we're going to try to raise for the playground. And then if they want to tackle that, then we would be willing to accept the donation from them. All that would have to be worked out in an agreement. But we would not, they will not go out and raise funds until it's an approved project by the town.
Let me address specifically what the agreement provides on the bottom of page 2. Subject to the discretion of the town's governing board, and subject to any applicable legal requirements, the town shall provide the additional funding required to develop and implement those approved projects that are supported by the nonprofit. So you've got three control mechanisms.
Yeah.
One, you've got your discretion about any additional funding. Also, there's another provision in here that your priorities can change, and therefore the allocation of those earmarked donated funds can also change subject to agreement. So you've got the flexibility and the authority that you need.
I sent this to the Friends group. They could not be here tonight, but they agreed to your changes. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the memorandum of understanding between the organization known as Friends of Curie Beach and the town.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Thank you. Item 9.2, consideration of an action of a proposed text amendment to KBC 10.06.04, prohibitive e-bikes on the beach. Jim.
Let me acknowledge a couple of things before we get into this. Number one, the crux of the matter, I've worked with Lieutenant Brandon, who made some proposed changes along these lines a year ago, and I've incorporated the change that he focused on, so I'm appreciative of that. I'm also appreciative of Mr. Barlock. Mr. Barlock has taken it upon himself to notice what syntactical changes are needed. I used to be the master of syntax, but I bow to Mr. Barlock.
Nice.
Far surpassed my poor, meager attempts, and I thought I was pretty good at it. So, if you adopt this resolution tonight, make that motion subject to the additional syntactical changes Mr. Barlock has proposed. I've reviewed those. He's completely right, and he's going to send them to me. It's an easy markup. Now, getting to the proposed text amendments in question, if you look at page 104, which is up on the screen, and you go down, let's look at the definitions first. If you look at beach strand, look at the cross out section that's in the current code. each, and if you realize that under the current code, vehicles are not allowed on the beach strand, if you look at this old definition or the current definition, it's actually a 20-foot wide strip from the toe of the dune towards the ocean that's not considered beach strand, therefore vehicles could use that 20 feet and make an argument that they're coherently, you know, that they're not violating this ordinance by driving on the beach strand. So what I did was I looked at the definition for beach strand for a couple of different coastal towns, and the one at Sunset was good. It went from the low water mark to the vegetation line. When I looked at the definition for the vegetation line in the CRC's regs, the vegetation line is defined as the stable vegetation on the eastward, most eastward toe of the frontal dune. So now we've got the prohibition, by extending the beach strand definition up to the toe of the dune, the frontal dune, now there's no gap, there's no, you can't drive on the beach, is what I'm trying to say. At the bottom of the page, it should be unlawful for any person to operate any electrical power, or here's a Barlock example. Instead of or assisted, we're going to put an electrically powered or electrically assisted bicycle, scooter, or hoverboard. That may be the only, there is some on page 4 of 4, maybe you can get that on there. Somehow or another, the Self-Publishing Act captured some standard provisions at the end of every ordinance and put them into this section. They don't belong at all, so we're getting rid of those. Let's back up a minute. I believe Mr. Barlock had a question about this, but I'm pretty sure that if you look at K, it establishes a civil penalty of $25. I feel certain we caught that both for the fee schedule, and we always specify the amount of the penalty in the code, so I'm comfortable with that.
Okay.
So the bottom line is you cannot operate an e-bike or an e-scooter or a hoverboard anywhere on the road. So if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
I do.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
One of my sons has an e-bike, and he brings it when they come. But you can ride that without turning on the electric part. So if I have an e-bike on the sand, just riding it like a regular bicycle, am I breaking the law?
No, I don't think you are, I'm not quite sure how to word the. If you're not.
I'm not operating
an electrically powered or assisted vehicle if you're not in that mode.
Well,
but if the policeman is down there, or if I'm sitting in my little tent and I see an e-bike, I know what an e-bike looks like because it's got the big wide thing with the batteries.
It's not electrically assisted in your hypothetical.
Right, in my hypothetical, but I don't know that when it passes me.
So either Sunset or Ocean Beach, when I looked up this, they banned them from being on the beach. So not operating it, you just can't have them on the beach. I don't know if that's the right answer to your question, but in one of them, it was pretty interesting. So they're like, you can't even carry it down to the beach and have it there. I don't know if that makes a problem for the police or you, but because I agree with you, as soon as they see the police or the lifeguard, they're going to start pedaling and acting like they're pedaling. But everyone on the beach knows, okay, if you can pedal that thing or not, right? And I can't remember which town it was when I was looking at it, but one of them bans them just for being on the beach at all.
I would ban it whether it's engaged or not engaged.
Right. So then you don't get into that.
Right.
I think that's an easy fix, but I'd like to check with the police department and see how they feel about that. Any comments? And the distinction, do you understand what they're saying?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what they're saying. Of course, we'll go back to the state. State doesn't differentiate between e-bikes or bicycles, they're one and the same. For our purposes, I think we get into a gray area as to, is that also you would need to ban bicycles? so we don't have that issue, because it would be difficult for us to determine. I know what anybody looks like too. It would be difficult for us to determine whether it's under electric power or human power, even though it may have that electric capability. So that's going to kind of be officer's best guess.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that we should ban bicycles, e-bikes, or otherwise? Or are you saying that the way the proposed text amendment is currently worded is...
I guess the only thing I'm saying is the only way for 100% foolproof is to ban bicycles altogether, which I'm not necessarily in favor of. I'm not saying let's do that, but...
So Sunset Beach Police Department, May 4th, 2022, right? E-bikes have been a subject of conversation for several weeks, and a recent change to Ordinance 9503 titled Vehicles on the Strand Prohibited. Language prohibited anyone from placing an e-bike on the strand, whether it's push, pedal, or park. At the meeting, the proposed change was suggested to allow them on the strand as long as they were manually operated or push with no electric or battery assistance. The town council denied the request to change language and clarify that the ordinance will be enforced as written. So that's for 2 years. You can see if they got in trouble.
Yeah, that's Sunset Beach.
So I'm not saying to change it. I'm saying they addressed your issue by saying that's an e-bike and it can't be on the strand. I don't know what the right answer is, but I remember researching this. That's why.
What do you want me to do?
Well, I don't want to ban bicycles, but I think operating, even if it's not engaged, it's impossible to tell it's not engaged. As David was saying, people use electric assist and still pedal, right? If they see a policeman on the beach and they start pedaling, you don't know what's going on. So I think operating is fine, just cannot have an e-bike on the beach.
Let me make a suggestion. A1, go down to C. Something along these lines, it should be unlawful for any person to, well, let me back up. We can take C and revise it to ban electrically powered or assisted bicycles, scooters, or hoverboards upon the beach, whether they're being operated electrically or not.
Correct. That's what Sunset Beach
did. I'm good with that.
I'm good with that.
Can I add something?
Yes, ma'am. Do you have an e-bike?
I do.
I want you to disclose your conflict with
them. Well, I don't bring it here, but you've got hoverboards on there and scooters. I think I would add skateboards or one wheels. Because my husband has...
Aren't skateboards and one wheel hoverboards?
They're different.
I'll just put skateboards in council.
Yes, add skateboards too.
Because I know he can take his one wheel on the beach.
If you can ride a skateboard,
so if you all want to entertain
that big one wheel thing.
It's a one
wheel. Beg pardon, Jim. Sorry.
If you all want to entertain a motion to adopt these text amendments with the change that we've discussed.
Yes, that's.
I make a motion we adopt the text amendment to ban e-bikes on the beach, as discussed.
I'll second that.
Okay, Jim, you good with that? For
yes, sir.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I'll make those changes.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you, Jim. And one more thing. Consideration of an action on proposed text amendment regulating ice cream trucks.
We discussed this somewhat at the last meeting, and I had actually presented some examples. You could go very simple, or you could add some provisions to cover certain contingencies. So we kind of split that. I do have a couple of questions as we walk through this. Basically, we're adding a new 5.06 to Chapter 5, mobile ice cream vendors. I'll just refer to the last three digits. 010 requires a permit. 020 is what that permit needs to contain, which, walking through it very quickly, full name, physical and mailing and email addresses, copies of the driver's license and driving history, a certificate of insurance for at least minimum liability coverage, photocopy of the state inspection certificate, all other permits and licenses that require. I think, Alan, you told me once that he's selling packaged ice cream and he needs to get a DOA.
Yeah, that's not the health department, that's the Department of Agriculture.
The route they'll take and any other information that the police chief deems reasonably necessary. Now, that raises one point. I went back and forth as to whether the police or the director of development and compliance should handle this, and I came down on the side of the police, of law enforcement. Operation, one of the important provisions is the next one, 030, operation of mobile ice cream vehicles. Daylight hours, 20-minute stops max, which you all proposed last time, but C is what I want to focus on. See if you agree with these. A mobile ice cream vendor shall not operate, stop, or conduct any sales, one, anywhere within the B1 business district, two, at any point on Fort Fisher Boulevard, three, at any beach access location, or four, at any point on a public right-of-way abutting the beach. And I'm thinking of safety concerns and traffic congestion and matters of those natures. And in the B1, I'm thinking of the businesses.
Mm-hmm. Great.
The only important 050 permits are good for a year, and again, Mr. Barlock has provided me with syntactical changes, so if you adopt it, it'll be in accordance with those provisions as well. Very simple. I did pretty good on this one. The enforcement is the revocation of the permit, and for a revocation, you're going to think the police, no, the revocation comes on the part of town council. So you'll be alerted to violations of these regulations or of any other applicable code provisions, and it'll come to you for a hearing in open session on the revocation of that permit. Because it involves an enterprise or the loss of an enterprise, there's due process considerations which are spelled out in the remainder of this subsection regarding notice and the time of the hearing relative to the receipt of notice. So that's a summary of the ice cream truck provisions. If you all have any questions or you want to entertain a motion.
I do have a question. So the permit, applying for the permit will go through the police department also?
I think so, and the issue, and that raises two points. I thought the administrative one, somebody that knows what they're looking at needs to review the application. And again, I came down on the side of law enforcement. With respect to the issuance of a permit is something I would draft when the need arises. We're going to keep it simple. And I think the department's administrative assistant can issue those. That's why you run into the language of designate.
Yeah, it doesn't address the noise from the...
The noise, if you'll recall, there's an exception in the noise ordinance for... I want to say mobile vendors advertise ice cream truck, basically. Even there's an exception in the noise ordinance that this is like a fee. There's also an exception in the solicitation ordinance that the ice cream truck comes under as well.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
In terms of where they can operate, you say you can't operate on any point on Fort Fisher Boulevard. There are sections of town where the vendor would have to drive down Fort Fisher Boulevard.
Well,
that means for business, not selling.
So anytime you could pull off into any of the side streets and therefore
right.
be fine.
Yeah,
okay.
I wouldn't interpret operate as the operation of the vehicle. I think it's the operation of the business.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we accept the proposed text amendment to
Second.
506. Okay. Have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Next item is new business. Discussion of current park hours. If you look in your agenda packet, we had the our intern this summer went through several recreational areas throughout the county, and if you see, very few of them go as late as 11 o'clock at night. The staff is making a recommendation that we reduce the hours of Joey's Park to help with the neighbors' quietness and the traffic in their neighborhoods on at 10 o'clock, so up to 10 o'clock. So any discussion or comments from anybody?
Well, what we got here has Joey's Park up to 11.
Now.
This is the current
now, yes.
So is that a request from the citizens? It was an evening issue, not a morning issue?
It was both.
Okay.
But a lot of our residents, being older, come out early in the morning to get their exercise or their play tennis or pickleball or whatever sport they're playing. They do come out early in the morning.
That's fine. I was just understanding the request, right?
Yes. So we're looking at just reducing our park hours from 11 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night to help alleviate some of the traffic noise around the park.
Sunrise is a little early.
Okay.
I mean,
we can do it whatever you want to do it.
No, I'm just suggesting that maybe a definitive 7 a.m. would be better. Because there's a month or two, right, where it sunrises before 7 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, that's up to us.
Do they have a lot of people that are using it between 10 and 11 right now?
I can't tell you because I'm normally asleep.
I don't know.
I think Ms. Irwin would say yes, they are. A lot of people are using it.
There are people between 10 and 11?
I have it written down. It was after almost 10:30,
10:41,
I think, one night.
And the lights all start to go off at 10.
Yeah, we'll set all that.
Exactly. We're sleeping.
No, yeah. Okay. And our staff will adjust. We'll put signage up. We can adjust it if you want to go 7 a.m.
And change the lights.
And we can change the lights where they go off. We had some issues with the lights that caused some problems.
We turned the lights off at 10.
But the people were able to...
bypass the clock.
They were reaching in so they could cut the lights on, but then they couldn't cut them off. Right. So, but our staff has fixed that, so that's been taken care of. There's a way around everything, y'all. So,
that's exactly right.
And so we hope we have it fixed until, and y'all, if you just knew how many times I've been called in the middle of the night to go cut off lights at a park where somebody didn't lock a box or they reached in and cut lights on. And you know, it's kind of like Jimmy says, they don't start at always about 2 o'clock in the morning when they decide to call you. So.
So I make a motion, we accept staff recommendation to reduce the evening hours to 10 p.m.
Okay, do we want to do 7?
Do you want to do 7 a.m.?
Yes.
So can we...
Can
we substitute that?
It didn't sound like that was a problem, but... And if it's not a problem, I don't know.
Well, I think it depends on...
Sunrise? Where, sunrise till...
Where you live. I mean, I think...
Yeah.
You know, most homes are probably insulated well enough that you can sleep through it, but if people... are closer to the park, it's going to be a little bit more. And windows are.
That's why it'd be nice for Nikki to say who had the request, right? So I don't know who all had the request. I know two of them were here, right? And they said it was okay. So if there's other people, that's why I ask how was the request.
I'm open to leaving it as it is.
I'm either way. As long as we're satisfying the people that asked for the change, right?
Okay, so I have a motion.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second.
7 o'clock. So it's sunrise to 10
o'clock. The motion is just reducing the hours to 10 p.m. Sunrise to 10 p.m. is the current motion and second that we have on the floor.
Okay.
Okay, so all in favor say aye.
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 Nay.
No, got one.
There you go.
One no.
There you go.
One no.
That's right. There you go. Exactly right. Just how it's supposed to work.
That's how it's supposed to work. So, thank you. I'll get park staff to, they have some temporary signs and stuff ready to go, and we'll make sure the timers and all that stuff are too. The next item on the agenda is a discussion of the camera grant for beach access number 99. And that's the one right adjacent to the lifeguard shack. We had applied for that grant last year, and because the camera group messed up the amount of the grant, our estimates, that the match was really messed up. So we're in the process of reapplying again for that grant, but after discussions with Arlen, our original cost estimates were coming in fairly high, and with the other projects that require matches this year, we feel like it's not the best timing to do this grant application, to have a higher match in this budget year. So if it's we have Fort Fisher and Kay, we have beach access number 140, that's L Avenue. We also have the Public Works building that potentially could run over and have some additional funding needed. So if it's okay with everyone, I'd like to recommend that we just postpone that grant application for a year. Okay? I don't think that'll take any action on our part. We just won't submit the grant application. Okay.
That's fine.
Thank you. Consideration and action on a resolution appointing New Hanover County as the town's agent for collecting and paying the town's contributions under project cooperation agreement with the Department of the Army. Mr. Attorney.
You want to provide some background, or you want me to?
Yeah, you can. I'll add to it.
We, first of all, this resolution concerns itself with the project cooperation agreements that Price Hill Beach, Carolina Beach, and Curry Beach have with the Department of the Army for beach renourishment. Under those agreements, the towns have to contribute their share of the financial obligation, which is funded in part by room occupancy taxes. Historically, without any type of formal agreement, the county has assisted those towns in collecting, accounting, and dispersing those contributions through the room occupancy tax fund. Recently, the mayor and I met with the officials of Carolina Beach, Riceville Beach, the county, and the Corps of Engineers. And one of the things that came out of that meeting was a request by the Corps, due in part to a response from the Corps' auditors, to have a more clearly defined black and white express instrument whereby the county is formally acting as our agent. Heretofore, it's been practice, it's been not provided in the instrument, it's just kind of happened. And it's happened without a hitch. But they're under some pressure from their bean counter, so to speak, to have it set down in black and white. And that's what this resolution is. It simply recognizes the county as the town's agent for dispersing their contributions to the Corps, also for receiving any refunds of excess funds from the Corps, and to do all that in the context of the room occupancy tax and to account for that. We have the difference, council members, between this hard copy and the one that was in your agenda packet is we received late today we had sent I drafted the original one last week. We sent that to the county and that was good to go. This week we received from one of the county representatives a modified instrument that added some things that we didn't have in the original, namely the receipt of refunds, which was not covered in my original draft. And that's really the only difference. We had to reword my original draft to more closely dovetail with what the county was proposing, but that's what's in front of you right now, if you have any questions on it.
Yeah, just to follow up to what Jim says, the county's getting ready to pass a resolution of their own, and so we're just mirroring what we're doing with them. And Carolina Beach did one last week at their meeting, yes, and they may be doing another one to get this in more in line. Y'all, are, for the people here, there are three parts to the funding for a beach or a coastal storm damage reduction project. You have federal, state, and local partners.
Non-federal.
And we're a non-federal partner. We're considered the non-federal partner. So we, percentages are different depending on how long the projects have been going on. Ours is 65-35, so we pay 35% out of the 65% federal, and then the other 35% either comes from the state of North Carolina, and then that other 17.5% comes from the ROT dollars that the county collects. So we've been doing it this way for years, and all of a sudden, like Jim said, the bean counters decided that, wait a minute, I'm not actually receiving a check from Crewe Beach for their part of the funds. Arlen and I discussed it back in Dennis several months ago, and we, you know, we were okay if they wanted to send us some money, but the county felt like this would be the cleanest way to keep everything the way it's always been done.
I think that's a good
supplement. So I'll entertain a motion to adopt the version 2 of the resolution.
Make a motion to adopt version 2 of resolution R24-10.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed? Thank you. All right. Next is mayor updates. Couple things. Since the last Saturday of the month falls on Labor Day weekend, I'm going to postpone or cancel coffee with the mayor this month. So that will not happen. Mandy will get a notification out on that next week. We do have the groundbreaking for the new Public Works building. And we're all going over to Joe's house. No, we're not going over to Joe's house. We will. Everybody is invited to please to come to that groundbreaking. We have Monteith Construction Company as our contractor. And that's Friday at 11 a.m. I did receive an email about and concerns about mosquito spraying. So I happened to see that they're spraying in Carolina Beach this week, but no, nothing scheduled for us. So I signed myself up for the notification. Mm-hmm. So when if I get a notification, I'll get Mandy to put it out. Mm-hmm. And I imagine the county probably sends that to us too, but anyway. Fort Fisher, the museum has their ribbon cutting grand opening on Thursday, September 26th at 11 a.m. Everyone's invited to that, and all members of council, if y'all haven't responded, please do. And I think that may be all I have today. We, that's all my notes. Any commissioner updates, Dennis?
I have nothing, Mayor.
David?
I didn't say it in my presentation, but if you don't have flood insurance, you should consider whether you need it or not. Obviously, there's a number of our fellow residents that hopefully had it, and if they didn't, it may be a problem. So that's something to always consider as you're looking at your property insurance.
Sure. John?
Just for information, tonight is a full moon. It's a super moon, and it's supposed to rise at 8:12. You may want to go down to the beach and take some pictures.
Kyle?
No, please.
Okay. I did fail to mention one thing. I did receive a call or email about storm debris pickup, but after riding around through town, I didn't see any debris need to be picked up, so I don't think we need to take a motion on that. But I did discuss it with Jimmy, and we didn't feel like it was warranted to even bring it to y'all. So, and
I will add on to your comment, Mayor, regarding stormwater and debris. I drove around, took pictures, and my favorite picture was this young boy and girl, I think brother and sister, were actually swimming in their driveway.
Oh.
the water.
I wouldn't swim in the water.
Exactly right.
No. All right. Okay. Next, folks, we have a closed session tonight, and I'll entertain a motion for that.
Make a motion to go in closed session for attorney-client privilege per North Carolina General Statute 143-318.11A.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
All right.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we come back into open session.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Attorney, you give us an update?
Thank you, Mayor. During the closed session, we discussed several matters involving legal issues. No votes were taken, no actions were taken. Thank you.
Okay. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
You want to talk about it?